Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, guys, and welcome to another episode of Access All Areas. I'm Bobby Norris, and I'm joined by the lovely Brooke. How are you, babes?
Oh, darling, I'm all good, Bobby. How are you?
Really good, thank you, babe. Really good. Thank you for being my co-host this evening. Lovely to have you back. We always have a laugh.
I was going to say, it's always a pleasure, isn't it? It's always a good time when it's us two.
We always have a right old giggle. What have you been up to since I spoke to you last?
Oh, do you know what? Gosh, when did I speak to you last? It's been a while now, hasn't it? But oh, I've literally just been trying to get my house sorted. So basically, during COVID, I moved back in with my mum because it took a toll on her. Like, she was, you know, I was only when I was able to work from home, so I wanted to keep her company. And now things are opening up again, so I'm sort of like, deuces. Like, I'm trying to sort, get my house sorted, and it's just been a nightmare going to all these viewings and just not, it's just so hard finding my first proper home because I'm buying, I don't want to rent. So it's been tough. But how have you been?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, babes. I'm all good. I'm a little bit of a football convert now. I mean, it's not normally my bag, really. I always watch when it's kind of like a big game. You know, if it's like a World Cup, or I think you kind of got to, do you know what I mean? You cheer on the country. And I kind of found myself getting really, really into it. And I'm just so proud that we got to the final and how well the boys done. Obviously, it wasn't the result we all would have liked. But I just think, what an incredible achievement to get to the final, kind of made history. And it's just so sad of kind of the aftermath of what's happening now.
Oh, my God, it's been so bad, hasn't it?
I just find it disgusting. And I wish I could say I was shocked, really, but trolling such a huge thing at the moment. And it doesn't seem to be going anywhere anytime soon. Do you know what I mean? Have you seen much of it?
I've seen quite a few. You know, you see the poo head emojis, you see the monkey emojis, like, and all the things that Marcus Rashford has been posted, Saka style. It's absolutely shocking. And you know what? Despite all these campaigns, like Be Kind and all of that, despite all the things that's happened with, you know, the suicides, and nothing's changed. I think people are still being, and you know, it's mad because some of these people are like teachers and working in the NHS, and it's absolutely nuts that these, it's just nuts. I'm literally speechless when it comes to this whole, like, racial slurs and trolling and all of that. It's mental.
And isn't it sad that it's such a big thing that we're almost becoming used to trolls, and there's not, still things very little that anyone can do about it. It's just, to me, it's just mind-blowing.
It's basically become like a norm. And I know some people are doing a petition now to have your ID linked to your social media account so that if you are caught trolling or whatever, then obviously you'll face consequences. People are a bit on the fence about that. I feel like, well, if you've got nothing to hide, what's the big deal? Like, I would be up for it because God knows I've had my fair share of trolling. And I know you have as well. You've been quite vocal about it, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely. And when I've spoke to MPs about 3.5 years ago when I first started campaigning against trolling, I said that to them back then. There has to be some kind of identification when signing up for social media. And for those who already have accounts now, an update where it has to be provided. To me, like you say, that unless you've got anything to hide, why would you not? People need to be accountable. And there's just 100%. No space in today's society for racism, homophobia, or any form of trolling. Do you know what I mean? Body shaming.
100%.
The umbrella of abuse that falls under it. It's just so sad. And I think it kind of tarnishes the achievement that the boys did get into where they did. They got to the final. Do you know what I mean? What a great team. And it just kind of, it's sad. But again, as I always say, and I think it's always important to point out, there are far more positive and kinder people in the world and on social media than the minority and the small few that think it's okay to live under a rock and be that vile to people.
Absolutely. Another thing that's been pointed out is how Instagram can pick up when comments are made about COVID, and you know, then the little COVID guideline thing pops up at the bottom, yet you don't pick up the homophobic comments, you don't pick up the racist comments, you don't pick up the, it's a bit like they're picking and choosing what they want to flag up, but it is what it is.
So something a little bit like, you know, I love my showbiz news, babes.
Absolutely.
We live for it. Have you seen the video that Kylie posted a few days ago?
With Stormy?
with Stormy. So on her YouTube account, she's posted a two-part video, and it's kind of a, like a behind the scenes talking about Kylie Cosmetics, the business, showing the office. She kind of gave like a little bit of an exclusive. Well, I think it was an exclusive because it's the first I've heard of it, that Stormy is working on a secret project.
Literally.
Like a brand.
No, I saw that. She's even trying to trademark Stormy now, isn't she? But can I just say, they're all going to end up working for Stormy. How old is Stormy now? Like, she could just about walk. Like, it's shocking.
How old is she? I think she's three.
Do you know how nuts that is? I love it. I'm so here for it.
A three-year-old is working on a secret brand. I mean, only in the land of Jenner and Kardashian. I mean, the thing is as well, they're all such savvy businesswomen. And I do take my hat off to them. And I know they can be, like, they kind of do get knocked by some people, and people go, oh, this, that, and the other, reality, famous for being famous. All that aside, they are very, very clever businesswomen. Do you know what I mean? Kylie, billionaire by the time she was 21. I mean,
how do you know how nuts that is?
It's just incredible. And it seems Stormy might even beat her if she's working on her first brand at 3 years old.
By the time she's five, Bobby, you know, Jeff Bezos who? Bill Gates who?
So no, Kylie, I think when she was a lot smaller, I think she was only one or two, maybe, Stormy at the time, and Kylie had done a collab. You know, she does like these really famous collections where she collabs with maybe it's family or influencers. And I did a Stormy collab, which kind of did lots of purples because purple's her favourite colour. She loves butterflies. She loves all butterflies on the packaging. So, I'm intrigued to see what it's going to be. And now she's kind of dropped that little seed. I'm sure it won't be long till we find out. But
I was just about to say. Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to seeing this, like this secret brand thing. Like, what did they have up the sleeve this time?
Kylie is taught her well. Little Stormy's going to be getting them coins. I mean, like, I remember the days when I used to wait for a little bit of pocket money and then I'd go to the sweet shop, either buy a little magazine or buy some pick and mix. I mean, this is a whole next level of pocket money. Do you know what I mean?
This is not even pocket money. This is like, it ain't a pocket, you know what I'm saying? It's a little Birkin bag. Like, it's a lot.
Has anything in showbiz news caught your eye the last few days, babes?
Well, you've seen Maura and her beau go in public, right? What are your thoughts on that? Because obviously there's been that, what are your thoughts on that? Because it was the captions for me, Bobby. It was the captions for me.
I think there had been a few little rumours and speculation that Maura and Strictly Giovanni had started dating, but nothing had been confirmed. And you kind of always have to wait for the official Instagram. Do you know what I mean? Like
that's when it's official, when it's on the gram.
Once it's on the gram and kind of people put it out there, that's when you know people are going, right, it is what it is and we are seeing each other. So once I saw that, I kind of thought, you know me, I love love. I love people being in love. I mean, certainly a stunning couple. And I just think it's really nice and really lovely. Got onto the Instagram, confirmed it, and I wonder if we'll see her on Strictly anytime soon. I wonder how that would work. Can you dance? Could you be partnered up with your partner? I don't think that's ever been done.
First time for everything, Bobby. First time is 2021. Anything can happen.
This is true. So showbiz news as well. So it's all been going on. There's been rumours of Adele and Skepta. Have you seen?
I was just about to say a bit more dating rumours over here, but this one's not confirmed. No. But I'm so here for it, Adele and Skepta. But these rumours have been going back from ages, but now they're popping up again, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. And I wonder if we'll see Adele go Instagram official and post whether she's seen him. I just think it's really, really, and I don't know what it is actually, but I think when you two people in the public eye kind of get together, there seems to be a fascination around it. People know, because I guess they've both got their fan bases, and then when power couples collide, but I'm absolutely here for it. I think they'd be great together.
100%. And obviously this comes right after her divorce when she insisted that she was single. And then now, you know, her and Skepta have been spotted and all of that. I am here for it. Like, if they are, if we have a little what would their name be?
Oh.
Skedell.
Skedell.
I am so here for Skedell.
They could end up collabing. Oh, nice.
Could you imagine? That would be epic.
That would be, yeah, it would, that would break the internet. Talking of breaking the internet, back to, I know we just spoke about her little sister earlier. Have you seen the Khloe Kardashian stuff?
I knew you were going to bring this up. Oh my God. So I'm going to assume you're talking about Tristan commenting under what Lamar said on her picture that she posted.
Yeah. What
my God.
Sorry.
My God. The audacity, the nerve, the cheek. To be publicly cheating, and then she goes and gets one comment from her ex, and then he, nah. He's got balls.
I read that she's laughed about it. So I kind of don't think she, from what I know, I don't think she's given it any attention. But yeah, to me, it's a strange one, because I think is there a motive to it, or is it a little bit kind of that, you know, you've lost something good, and you don't like someone commenting emojis on someone's photo. But
you know, men and their pride.
2021, we've seen Jennifer and Ben
get back together. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Anything could happen. Anything can happen.
Get back with her ex-husband.
Do you know what? I would not rule it out. But the way Khloe and Tristan are set up, it wouldn't surprise you if they never actually properly broke up. Like, how many times have they broken up and gotten back together? It's just like, it's like a broken record. But it would not surprise me if her and Lamar were to get back together either, at all. They were married, so. Yeah.
And I mean, that's a bond and a half, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So I get wash this, that space. I'm sure we'll be seeing more about it as we do. And yeah, we're here for it. Let's see what happens over the next coming weeks. And Brooke, we are in for a belter of a show. I'm so excited. So our guest tonight, it's quite a camp one. We've got a couple of drag race royalty. We've got the lovely Ginny Lemon. We've got also my friend and colleague who I've worked with in the past, Nadia Essex. And then earlier in the week, I did a little pre-record with the lovely Lawrence Cheney. So fab show.
Absolutely amazing. Are you ready?
I'm so ready, babes. Are you ready?
I was bomb ready, honey.
Let's do it. I think Jenny's in the waiting room. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Can you see me? Hello.
Absolutely can.
Hello, babe.
Yeah, good, babe. How are you?
Really good, thank you. Really good. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Oh, no, thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, because I've put full makeup on for you today.
I'm loving this.
We are so here for it.
I've just seen myself, though. I look absolutely terrifying. That's ridiculous. Like, what a thing to pop up on your screen. It's like a horror film.
How have you been?
Oh, well, that's a good question. How have I been? What, just today or in life?
In life, today, last week.
Oh, last week was fabulous. Today is all right. And life is brilliant. Yeah. How are you?
Really good, thank you. Really good. We were just saying, this weather, crazy. It's just the weirdest thing. It's not hot, but then there seems to be no air in the air.
Yeah. Literally.
It's very hummus. Very hummus. Very close. Very hummus.
Obviously, with the whole pandemic, so many things have had to close, and with all the lockdowns and stuff, including tours and stuff. Where are you at with your tour now, babes?
Well, I've been quite lucky, you see, because we have been doing some shows. It's not been huge capacities, because we've had like half capacities, and I've just finished a show with Bimini. So we did the Jiminy Project, which was an amazing show, which we've got a few more shows later on in the year. And it was good just to get a diverse, amazing queer performers, lots of amazing drag talent, drag kings, those blessed with a vagina from birth, you know, just an amazing play of talent. And it was good to kind of use our platforms in order to, to take our mates on tour with us and use that platform so they can use it too and get amazing drag out there. So it's been great, but it's also been weird because we're in this like bizarre COVID times when you can't touch or you can, and what, in a couple of weeks we can spit in each other's mouths and Corona's gone away. So, that's what says. So it's all kind of it's all very strange at the moment. Isn't life strange?
It's just been the strangest year and a half, isn't it?
It really has. I just can't get over the fact that this whole pandemic, isolating, whatever, was supposed to be for 3 weeks. Guys, we're closer to 2022 than we are to 2020. Like, it's nuts.
Ridiculous. I think the worst thing about this, because this was that was meant to be my big break. The thing, when we were filming Drag Race, we had to stop filming. So we were completely isolated, you know, in our room, not knowing anything. And then we get told that production's shutting down. So the first time I really hear about the coronavirus, you know, my mind was focused on Drag Race, is when I'm on, you know, on set. So I'm not saying that RuPaul is the visual embodiment of coronavirus, but you know, I mean, the two of them showed up at the same time in my life. So
yeah. So was you, I mean, I know the series was currently being filmed, but was you on set and then literally got told by production, we're closing it down and everyone's going home?
Well, officially, yes.
Officially.
For legal reasons, I can't say anymore. I've got to protect my own ass. company.
I wanted to ask it, obviously, because breaking history, the only queen ever to leave the competition.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. It needs shaking up a little bit. Listen, I was there to make entertainment. I was there to make good telly. It was to make people laugh, make people meme about it. And, you know, and in the consequence, I also, you know, won over a couple of people's hearts. So that's amazing. I only went in there to break the binary, to be myself and to fuck it up. I mean, it was getting so
frustrating
and so boring. And I just, you know, it needed to be shaken up and stirred on its ass. And that was part of my job as a drag performer to do. And I think it's important that show is the main platform for drag, hands down. So it's so good now that we're seeing a diversity of the people and type of performers coming onto the show. It's taken itself a little while, but you know, it's letting all of us on now, which I think is absolutely amazing. So good for them, and thank you, Babs, for giving me a platform.
So did you know, babe, that you was going to self-eliminate when you got to the bottom two and you was up against your best friend?
God, no. She's not my best friend. God, don't make up lies. That bitch. No, I love her. I love Pip. I love Pip. It's a real name. She'll hate me for saying that. No, I had no idea. There was lots of mysterious things going on in the background that I didn't talk about for legal reasons. I made the I wanted to make right there, and then I always go with my gut instincts. I always go with my chakras. If my chakras are cleansed, then I'm out of that place, you know. And the moment I stopped having fun was the moment I kind of, you know, was that moment. So I walked off and had some fun, and it was hilarious. I still laugh about it now. I think it was so funny because people were so shocked, and I go, darling, it's just television.
Of course, yeah. Well, Ginny, obviously you said you went to shake things up, to fuck shit up, to do all of that, which you did, but why did you think it was getting boring?
As in, there was such a way, like such a generic form of drag that was kind of being represented on that show. And it was basically, you know, hip pads, tits, contour, this and that, going for a very hyper feminine female illusion, which is, you know, frankly quite outdated in 2021, like quite misogynistic. So I wanted to kind of break those boundaries and see a huger representation of drag, and I just didn't want to see these kind of cookie cutter drag queens that I was seeing. You know, I wanted to see some queer art, not just people prancing around and having a laugh. I mean, that's all great and well done, but there are some truly talented performers out there who haven't got that platform. And you know, as queer people, what else do we have apart from Drag Race to cling on to and to kind of perform with? You know, what do we have?
How did you find the reaction from the public on social media? Obviously, being thrown into such a huge show, and at that time as well, where everyone was kind of just binging and spending TV, 23 hours a day on Netflix, it was hugely watched. How was social media for you?
Oh, I had a breeze. I had a lovely time. I mean, I was, you know, I'm quite a hard nut as well, but I'm also, you know, like a crab, I suppose, hard on the outside and tender in the center. Delicious, well, all buttered up. But, you know, for me, I I had such a huge positive reaction because of my chat with Bimini and being so open about being non-binary and talking about my kind of queerness and, mm-hmm. and just being myself, really, you know, fucking the system and living my life and trying to get the best out of this world and hustling. And, you know, just doing the best I could. So I've had such a positive, obviously there was a couple of dickheads out there, but there's yeah, I mean, it's like they're unavoidable. And if I'm going to put myself
on the
main platform, then I'm going to have to expect a bit. But, you know, luckily I'm a bit of a troll at heart myself. So any trolling I just took with a pinch of salt, and I was like, well, good for them. You know, if they felt the need to wake up that day and say such horrible things, then really it's a reflection on them and not me.
100%, 100%.
What was your thoughts on trolls? Do you think, because I can never truly understand why people do it, do you think it's coming from that they've had a bad day, or because I'm a big believer hurt people.
It must be a really bad day, Bobby, to go and, you know, give someone death threats or what. It must be a really bad day.
I just do not understand it, and I try so hard to get my head around it. I always come back to the conclusion that hurt people, and I almost feel mm-hmm. I have to pity them in some way, because yeah. they must be going through something so terrible to want to inflict that much hurt onto someone else.
It's just an element of sadness there, really. And I think in the day and age of the internet, people could just get away with so much bullshit. And you know, you've just got to learn to kind of look for the good and look for the positive. And then also, social media isn't the be all and end all. You can log off. Like, you can just use your phone for a couple of weeks and be like, do you know what? That's stressing me out. I don't really care that my cousin's had a roast dinner or that my mate's got a new outfit that I can't afford, you know. Turn all that shit off, log off, go to the seaside, go to the canal, go to some water, you know, have a little look at nature and have a lovely time. Like, if that shit's getting to you, then log off. Like, you have that power as well. Like, you have that power. We feed this social media addiction, but we can just go, do you know what? And even if we think that social media is important enough to go, hey everyone, I'm just logging off for a few days because a bit of self-love, you know, if you think that people want to hear that bullshit as well, then do it.
Everyone's so nobody ever cares, do they?
No, and then they're on 2 days later when they've deleted that one, so whatever. Turn it off, you know, just turn it off. You can't afford anything. Stop bloody relying on Klarna and go out and, you know, go take a shit in the woods. That's free.
I definitely think it's important to have like little digital detoxes and to kind of just step away from social media. And even, you know, your phone, I would in
recommend
general.
People would do. Do you know what I recommend people do?
What's that, babes?
I recommend people should come along to my show at the Garrick Theatre on the 27th of July in London, at the West End in London. With me, Ginny Pig Lemon, at the West End. So log off from your phones, put them in the shredder, put them in the bin, and come see me in London at the Garrick Theatre on the 27th of July.
But I'm sure people will be so excited to see you that they'd have to post that on socials, though, Ginny. Let's be honest, like, there's no way.
Oh, yeah. Okay, before you throw your phones in the bin, share that on social media.
What can people expect from the show, babe?
Oh, from my show, what they can expect is a taste of what I'm working on at the moment, a kind of taste of where life has taken me. I mean, before the show, I was working on a project called Tonic, which was Arts Council funded and really about working class, queer, disabled, all the labels, non-binary, all of that, and how kind of that has all influenced me and my art. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of working on that as an ongoing project. So it's going to be a little taste of that. And also, I'd like to share some stories, you know, share some stories as always, and weave some magical tales and hopefully incorporate a lot of live music in there. And again, having some fabulous artists with me, Majid Bardot, Why She Black.
Amazing.
It's going to be an amazing show. And at the moment, I just feel like I've done that, and the stress of Drag Race and Corona and everything. Now I'm just being like, I'm just going to try and chill me beans, go with the flow, and try not to worry too much, because I worry so much all the time. It's the anxiety, you know. You haven't got to get nervous. It's if you stay nervous, that's anxiety for you. Mm. So I'm just trying to chill and do my thing and I have a brilliant time and see what comes my way. I don't want to make too many plans.
Of course.
Could you ever see more telly in the future?
Oh, well, if there is more telly coming, darling, of course. You know, I'm always a working professional. I'll be coming up in a few shows in a couple of months, which I can't talk about, obviously.
For legal reasons.
But I can say it's two people from the West Midlands, two icons of the West Midlands finally joining together. So I'm very excited for that project coming out, I think, probably August, September time.
Ooh.
So keep your ears open and your brows.
Keep an eye on social media when we're not digital detoxing. Exactly. When we get the phone out of the bin.
Well, exactly.
And shitting in the woods, yeah.
I'll just be on the telly instead. So yeah, I'm doing that and I'm just doing that now. Just doing anything. Trying to earn the money, you know.
Secure all the bags. Get your coins, honey.
Exactly. That's what I'm doing. I'm saving. I'm hustling. All I'm trying to do is, you know, I'll always be that council house kid in my head. So, like, I'm just trying to not go back to the council house in my head and strive for, you know, not like there's any shame, but I'm a working bitch. I want to make that money. And I want a hot tub. That's what I want, a hot tub.
Always good to have what you want in your mind's eye. Takes work towards.
Exactly. If I get that hot tub, then I know I've made it. People are like, oh, Ginny, you've made it. I was like, no, I haven't got hot tub yet.
Ain't got me hot tub.
I have, yeah.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us, Bose. It's lovely to speak to you.
Oh, you too. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
Take all this makeup off now.
Yeah.
Bless you. Well, you stay safe, won't you? And best of luck for the tour.
Oh, thank you.
Best of luck, Ginny. Take care.
Keep it sliced.
Bye.
Tatty, bye.
Bye,
bye. Bye. What an absolute darling.
I think Nadia Essex is in the waiting room. Let's get her in. Go straight into the next one, babes.
Lego.
Bobby?
Are you there, babes?
Hi.
I can't see. Oh, I can now.
There she is.
How have you been, Nods?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Really good, thank you. Really good. Oh, I feel like I've not seen you forever. Well, there's so many people we've not seen forever after the last year and a half.
Right, darling. It has been a long year and a half, let's be honest.
Yeah. How's the little man?
Yeah, he's good. He's upstairs. Do you know what? I'm here with, you know, Fran Palmen?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's upstairs.
Is she there?
Yeah, she's there.
So what have you been up to? Been keeping busy, I see. Writing a book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't even know how I did it. I wrote a book with a baby in lockdown. But yeah, it's 100...
Single woman.
I know, right? We're doing it for ourselves. 101 tips for dating after a pandemic.
I'm going to need that, sis, because... My love life, pre-COVID, post-COVID, it's just been car crash. So I'm going to need that book. I'm going to need a copy.
Honey, I'll send you a copy. Just tell me where to send it. I'll send you a copy. Like, it's just, do you know the thing is that obviously during lockdown, like nobody needed dating advice because no one was dating. And then when Boris announced the roadmap of like opening up, all of a sudden, I just got like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of messages of people being like, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, I was almost copy and pasting, like, okay, well, here's what to do and da da da. And I thought, you know what, let me just put it all in one place and people can have it as like a little mini like go-to guide of like what to do when you're dating.
It's such a good idea. Because obviously, like you say, with restaurants and bars and everything being closed in the start of the pandemic, you couldn't date. And then some people were doing Zoom dating, which for me, because I had the breakup in a pandemic as well. It's all gone down in lockdowns. But I just didn't like the thought of doing a Zoom date for some reason. Back to sitting at a dining table, having a steak and chips on my own, looking at a Zoom whilst dating. So I think when you're dating, you kind of have to feel a chemistry.
You 100%. You don't know. We're not robots. Like, let's be honest. Honestly.
So what are your tips now? As I said, now the world is getting better, things are opening up, and from the 19th, so from next week, things are going to be a lot better still. Dating, what's the situation now?
Well, it's gotten really difficult because now there's dating before COVID, as you know, darling, was hard. And now it's even harder because it's like, do you wear a mask? Do you social distance? Do you go in for a hug? Like, what is the etiquette? And so everyone's really scared of how to interact with other humans, let alone a date. So I think, like, if you on a date are adamant that you'd like to wear a mask, and you end up on a date with a COVID denier, let's be honest, you're not compatible.
No.
It's not gonna work.
No.
So talk about your COVID boundaries up front, what you feel comfortable with and what you think your expectations are. But then the next tip is, on the date, do not talk about COVID.
Going to be basically impossible though, isn't it? Because this is literally like a huge chunk of your life. Like,
no, but it's awful because it's so divisive. We live in a world where COVID has now become really divisive. Have you had the jab? Do you have the jab? What did you think about the jab? Do you think COVID is this? Do you think what do you, but it's so, it's the new Brexit.
And yeah,
definitely.
It's just too divisive that. And people have very strong opinions on the whole situation. Have we handled it correctly? Have we not handled it correctly? What people think of the government, the response, the NHS, the vaccines. It's such a politically, but also like emotionally aggravated subject that on the trying, if you can, don't talk about it. But, you know, talk about the weather. We're British. This is what we do.
So now, obviously, we've worked together a few times, and when we first worked together, you was my guru for trying to help me in my dating life. What would you say is, like, for a first date, what's the go-to kind of questions? What are the taboos? Like, because I still think we're in a situation where we don't really know what we should be doing on first dates, what's okay to ask, what's not okay.
I know. Well, first, I mean, obviously, plug, buy my book.
I was gonna say, girl.
Of course, like, and genuinely it will help, but I genuinely think that a first date has to be, it's not an interview, so we can't, like, I don't want to ask, for me, on a first date, I wouldn't ask, like, so do you want to get married? Do you want to, how many kids do you want? Like, where do you want to live? What do you want to do? What's your goals, careers, aspects and things like that? Because you know what? All of those things will come at some point. So for me, on a first date, I'm more of like, let's have fun. I like to ask more like stupid, silly questions. Like, okay, who would win between like a silverback gorilla and a great white shark if it was on land? You know,
it's and airy, right?
And just get a conversation going of something really silly, because then you find out a lot. Like, you know, one of my go-to questions is, if you found out you won the lottery, what's the very first thing you would buy?
Oh, good question,
Bob's. What's
my house?
What's
my house.
Yeah.
No, honey, Brooke, think about it. The very, very first thing. There's no way you wouldn't spend a penny of that money on the lottery before you bought your house.
That's true. Do you know, I would probably, you know, I love my food, don't I? I think I'd have to.
That's true.
It would involve food.
That's true. Or a flight, honey. A flight somewhere far, far away.
This is what I'm talking about. This is how you get into them. Like, people go straight for, oh, a holiday, a house, this, that, and that. And then it's like, no. The very, very first thing.
Yeah.
Like, same for me. I'd probably like, oh, I'd be like, anyone free, let's just go to Nobu and stuff our faces.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, so true. It's all about the food for me. All about the food.
No, I've got about five chins.
I want to ask you, babes, how was dating for you? Obviously, without the panny D, because it's been a terrible year and a half, and nothing's been open, let's have it right. But as a mum now, has dating changed for you?
Yes and no. I mean, obviously, like, the way I dated before was I dated with intention anyway. So mm-hmm. I never dated for the sake of dating. I dated because, okay, I met you, we have chemistry. I think there could be something here. So therefore, let's take it further and go on a date and see if we can explore this chemistry. Like, mm-hmm. I never really, in the last decade, I've never really dated for the sake of dating. Yeah. But obviously, it's harder now because I think, two things I think is harder. One, I think, you know, aesthetically, I feel I have lots of body insecurity. And so I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh, I'm not quite happy with what I see. And I'm working really hard on mm-hmm. being happier with what I see in the mirror. And I'm mm-hmm. following loads of like body positive people on Instagram. And I'm trying to consume a lot of body positive content because I'm just mm-hmm. so... Because because I'm bigger than I usually am, my brain is designed to be like, look in the mirror, you're fat, you're ugly, you hate yourself. Like, that's my mm-hmm. go-to thoughts. And so I'm trying really hard to like give myself a bit of a break and be like, okay, I'm not where I want to be, but also that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know, it doesn't help.
Yeah. It's hard to do. So it's hard to date when you're not feeling your like fabulous, sexy self. It's hard to date when you feel like a fat, ugly frump. It's hard.
Mm.
But I'm trying to counteract it because ultimately it's like, this is what I look like. And it's not, you know, a crime or terrible. And so I kind of have to get over myself. And then hopefully everyone around me can get over it too.
And what's this I see? You've been banned from Tinder.
And Hinge.
Why have you been banned from Tinder and Hinge?
I honestly, Bobs, I do not know. Permanently banned. They don't tell you why. I just literally got a message. I logged onto Tinder and got a message pop up being like, you have been permanently banned. And I was like, mortified.
Do you know and what? I think it's because people think you're fake, as in not you. They catfish, think you're a fake profile. Catfish, yeah. Sorry, that came a bit wrong.
No, totally. No, what the thing is, and Hinge did the same thing. And so I sent them both emails to their support, you know, networks, being like, I can verify. Like, I'm happy to like verify that I am who I say I am. I didn't even bother getting your reply. Oh. I was like, oh, that's rude. And to be fair, I mean, you know, there's lots of dating apps, but they really were the two that were like the main ones.
Yeah.
And then so I recently joined Bumble, and I probably shouldn't name it. There are plenty of other dating apps, blah, blah, blah. But I recently joined Bumble, and this is how I know dating apps aren't for me. I've been on Bumble for a month, but one person's asked me out, and I've matched with plenty.
See, because I don't like Bumble, because it's about girls making the first move, and call me old-fashioned, I don't give a fuck, I think the guys should, do you know what I mean? Like,
it's awful, I can't stand
it. It's awful, I hate Bumble, I'm not on it.
I was against the idea from the beginning that I heard it, mm-hmm. I was like, mm-hmm. I hate it, it's not for me. And then everyone was like, post-lockdown, come on, it's the best one, you've been banned from Hinge and Tinder, you might as well do that. You know, the slim pickings, darling. Beggars can't be choosers.
Running out of apps.
Right? So I joined Bumble and I was like, okay, yeah. So I think I've probably matched with like 30 guys.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of them has asked me out. But I still get the, morning, hun, how's your day going so far? And I'm like, ugh, kill me now.
Have you checked your DMs? You've probably got a few asking you out of your DMs.
No, nothing. Let me tell you one thing, it's not me, honey, it's definitely them.
Oh, facts, honey, preach. I know that's right.
Just saying.
Thank you so much for joining us, Nadia. Before you go, what's your book called and where can people find it?
Yes.
Thank you, darlings. I've loved this interview. Thank you very much. It's called 101 Tips for Dating After a Pandemic. It's on Amazon and Kindle right now.
Amazing, amazing. Looking forward to it.
Oh, thank you so much, Nigel.
I'll send you a copy, literally.
Babe, I'm about to be in your DMs. Like, girl, you got some more advice because I'm doing everything wrong.
I've got you, babes.
Got to be a bit of bedtime reading for us all.
Absolutely.
Take care.
Love
bye,
you guys. Thank you.
Bye, Nadia. Bye. What a cutie.
There's so many things that I hadn't taken into consideration, but like Nadia says, there's the what's people's views on the mask. Like,
yeah,
it's hard enough as it is, but now things are easing up and getting back to normal next week.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, it's another can of worms and another conundrum to add to it before.
It really is. It really is. And I feel like sometimes it's so sharp because just because you see someone and they might be your type, you're not necessarily theirs. But then when you are, I think it's a beautiful connection. It's just right, isn't it? Like,
yeah. There is something you can't beat when a date goes well. When you get that chemistry, you have that lovely day or that lovely evening together. You have a laugh.
And butterflies.
Like, yeah, the butterflies. Oh,
when's the last time you had butterflies, Bobby?
Oh, gosh, don't know. It's just moths at the minute.
The ones that have been frightening.
Yeah. Oh, what a fab show. Do you know what, Ange? We've still got my little pre-record to play out.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. What can we expect?
Oh, my God. It was another fab chat. So more drag race royalty. I spoke to the lovely Lawrence Cheney, and it's coming up now. Have a listen.
Hi, babes.
How are you, my love?
I'm good. You have no idea how big a fan I am of you. You have no idea, Bobby.
Oh,
such
really?
A huge fan. Yeah, I'm obsessed.
Oh,
obsessed.
Bless you. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful that you've agreed to have this little chat with me.
Yeah, of course. And listen, what else am I doing at 10:30 in the morning?
So first, I want to ask, how are you? I know you tested positive for COVID a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it's wild because I think, like everyone else, I've been doing my bit. You wear your mask, you do, you know, what you need to do, social distancing, following the rules. And the fact that it got me anyway, it really struck me. I was like, wow, this is real. This can happen to anyone. It is happening to anyone. So I'm just happy that I've recovered. I'm healthy now. But I mean, what a great time to talk about self-love and positivity than now after recovering from COVID, you know?
Oh my God, yeah, absolutely. It's it's just madness that the whole virus, isn't it? And how it affects people so differently. And I'm so glad to hear that you're feeling better though, babe.
I know. Listen, thank God, because what upsets me is how, like you said, it affects people so differently. Some people have no symptoms. Some people are fine. Some people are hospitalised. I mean, it is crazy. It is crazy.
Was yours quite bad?
No, I was very mild. So it was not bad at all. I mean, saying that, I mean, it knocks you for six because you can feel your body fighting something off. But, you know, I'm just glad it wasn't too bad.
Oh, good. Bose, so you mentioned it. Let's talk about your campaign. I've just been reading through it. It sounds amazing. It's right up my street. I think it's a fabulous idea.
It's really fun. So obviously, me and Tia from Drag Race, we've teamed up with Body Shop. And it's all because of Body Shop's Pride campaign, all based around self-love. And Body Shop's recently teamed up with Mind Out, which is a LGBT organisation, kind of, you know, made by LGBT plus people, you know, to look after mental health awareness and really kind of pass that message of self-love and support to people in our community. So it's come at the right time, I think, because, you know, we've all been locked down, prides have been cancelled, we've seen increased violence to LGBT plus people. So I think now more than ever, we need to practice self-love.
Oh my God, absolutely, I couldn't agree more. And when you see the statistics written down, it's just terrifying. And it's so heartbreaking, isn't it, that we're here in 2021 and we've still got 46% of the community considering themselves to be a failure compared to 25% of heterosexual people.
Yeah, wild. 40% of LGBTQIA plus people struggle with self-love as well, something that is, you know, for some people I'm sure comes so naturally, but it's so sad that you know, it's 2021 and we still need to talk about this. We still, you know, it's so sad that we still need to have pride marches and pride parades because we all should be equal. But, you know, we're not. That's the struggle.
And like you say, there's still things going on around the world. I read a story, I think just yesterday or the other day, about some poor guy.
In Spain, yeah. Wild. Beaten by 12... cishet men beaten to death. It's wild. Wild to me that these things are still happening.
It's just such wastes of life. Like, how far, what do we need to do for people to get the acceptance to just let people love who they want to love? To me, it's heartbreaking for anyone to be, even the name calling and the things down the street. I'm not sure if you've ever experienced it, but I've had someone drive past in a white van a few months back, open the window and shouting out homophobic slurs, and you think, God, it's just in a pandemic and all the things the world are going through, and you're really that bothered about me walking down the street that you want to call me the most horrendous names. It boggles my mind.
I think the pandemic's been a real struggle for, you know, our community, because I think because we've all, you know, everyone has been locked up in their houses, we've lost that sense of community, both, you know, in our communities, obviously, but also straight people, heterosexual people are back in that mindset of they only know what their mum, dad, gran and sister, that's all they know. So I think everyone coming back out of lockdown now, they're shocked again to see trans people, gay people, drag queens. That's a shock again. And it's wild because I thought we were, you know, getting a lot of progress. But I think we've still got a long way to go, you know.
Absolutely. And I definitely think back, I'm 34. I feel like in the years from my kind of teens to now, I think we've made so much progress in so many ways, which is amazing. But there's no denying that we've still got a way to go. And you mentioned Pride. I'm really hoping London goes ahead. I know Brighton have cancelled this year, unfortunately. As they all did last year, didn't they? Obviously, because of the pandemic. But it's such a special and a lovely day for people to all come together. And even more so now, more than ever, after the last 15 months.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing as well that, you know, the Body Shop and even me, something I practice, you know, especially during lockdown, acts of self-love to yourself are really, really important. And it's different to each other. You and me will have different ideas of what self-love will be and what will make us love ourselves more. Sometimes it's about looking in the mirror and just saying that you're valid, you're worth this life. Sometimes it's about looking in the mirror saying you look good today. Sometimes it's about listening to your favorite music, you know. So it's really a time to kind of disassociate from the madness of the world and just kind of love yourself and take time to really appreciate who you are and what you are as a person. And I think people need to do that more, which is why I'm so glad, you know, Body Shop have, you know, helped me spread this message, you know.
Absolutely. And I think that coming as far as we have and looking at where we are now, we really need to turn a corner soon, because mental health is just through the rise through every community. But when you see the figures for our community, is it 1.5 times more likely to develop depression and anxiety? Like, and the statistics for just generally getting mental health at the moment after a year and a half of lockdowns is terrible. That on top of it, it becomes really terrifying.
Yeah. It's sad because, you know, I think there's something for everyone to take away from here, you know, whether you're trans, gay, straight, you know. And I think it's, we've all been in this whole thing together, and there should be a shared sense of togetherness with this. We've all been locked up, we've all not been able to see our grands, our mums and stuff. So I think in a world where we are so different, we should appreciate those things that do make us different, but also those things that connect us as well. There should be a bit more of a sense of community, and that you know, people should learn to kind of appreciate those things that bring us together, especially after not having any connection with anyone for a year and a half in lockdown, you know?
Absolutely. Well, hats off to you and Tia for this Body Shop campaign, because like I say, I just think it's amazing to just shed a light and watch that 3-minute video that's up on YouTube as well. And I just think it's so emotive and such a great thing for people to just acknowledge, that it just to take a couple of minutes out of their day to kind of have that bit of self-love and not be so hard on ourselves. It's so much easier said than done, let's face it. Everyone can be hard on themselves, but it's important to not be, because life can be hard enough.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to be nicer to ourselves.
Absolutely. Talking of nice, I'm always interested in what people in the public eye go through on their social media. I've been very open for the last three and a half years since starting my campaign with Parliament to kind of put an end to trolling. Do you ever experience anything like that, babe?
Yeah, I it was weird to me, because before being on Drag Race, obviously, you know, one Drag Race, which is amazing. So, you know, career-wise, it's lovely. But before being on Drag Race, I was just a drag queen in Glasgow. The only thing I experienced was a few drag queens being, you know, shady and making a few remarks and whatever, which I always found really funny. But suddenly, you know, you're put into this world where everyone's got an opinion on you. I remember I got death threats for the way you would say something in a certain tone, you know, on TV. It is wild to me how, because you have an argument with someone, or if you disagree with someone's point on TV about drag, which is about wigs, makeup, you know, and padding and, you know, corsets and stuff, that's, you should die. I mean, it is wild to me. So, again, I know you've gone through so much, you know, online, and I'm so glad that you've raised awareness to the fact that it's like, why is trolling a thing? Hello, what is going on? And it seems to be rife everywhere. I think it's a reality TV thing, actually. People think, because we are seen as quote-unquote normal human beings, which we are, obviously, but people think they have that ownership over you, the way that, in a different way from people like Angelina Jolie and stuff like that, who are playing a character. But it's there's a lot of separation. I don't know about you, but I'm a drag queen, so I'm a persona on television. It's not, I don't walk about my house, you know, doing the cleaning and cooking and drag, you know. It's wild to me.
Yeah, and I think people look at people on TV as caricatures, and I think they don't actually realise that away from TV or whatever form of media you might know them from, that they go home, they're a real person. They put the key in the door, they watch the telly, they cook the dinner, like you say, do you know what I mean? They get the windoline out and clean it. So, and to me, it's wild that people just feel brave behind a screen, whether that's their phone or their iPad or their laptop, because I generally don't believe 9 out of 10 of them would ever say anything like that on the central line, or if they bumped into you in a high street, they'd never turn around and go, I'm going to do this, or I think this. It just doesn't happen. And I think that's because there's a lot of, everyone's anonymous online. These little accounts where they're just eggs, or they're clearly fake profiles. Yeah. They're not held accountable for what they say. and I'm big enough and old enough and ugly, and I can kind of, I'm not going to lose my sleep. When I put my head on the pillow, I'm all right. Do you know what I mean? But yeah. I'm always very conscious. I think 14-year-old Robbie would struggle tremendously with
the that's the problem is I hate when people say to me, they say, just ignore it. And it's like, you don't get it. I understand, you know, so you if you take it on a case-by-case basis, even if I'm able to ignore it, why is this a thing? Mm. Why do, a 14-year-old that's on a CBeebies show or something, why do they need to put up with being cyberbullied and attacked online? And it is just weird. Even verification on, you know, Instagram and things like that. People should have, you know, there should be a bit of a process to people getting accounts, you know, Definitely. So that you do know who the owner of the account is, and they don't have seven other accounts that are anonymous and trolling accounts, you know, that there needs to be a bit of policing on that front.
Absolutely. When I spoke to Parliament, I think it was in the first lockdown, I had another, like just a Zoom thing, obviously, because we was in the midst of a lockdown, I couldn't go back into Parliament. But I was like, look, if I go to a supermarket and I want a club card or a Nectar card, I give more information to a supermarket to get points on my bread and milk than I do to go onto the internet have social media and speak to anyone around the world. To me, that thing's not tallying up. Why are we giving more to supermarkets than we are to social media?
Crazy. I think
they are definitely sitting up and listening, because I mean, I'm no psychologist, but I believe the rise in mental health and the growth of social media, I think there's got to be some kind of connection where people compare their lives on, say, Instagram to other people. They feel like they're not as good as someone, or they've not got the ideal life that someone looks like. And 9 times out of 10, let's face it, people are only putting their best stuff up.
Like, yes, their best bits. Yeah.
it's like a self-edited kind of home movie, so to speak, isn't it? People like very, very few people are quite open enough to put a photo of them feeling down or to open up, and that's their prerogative. And that's why I'm always very conscious of my Instagram, that I kind of do both. But that's not to say everyone does, and I don't judge people that do their perfect photos and their filtered photos, but I just think it's really important for people to take social media sometimes with a pinch of salt and think, like, this is like the photos you would show someone back in the day. But, oh, these are my favourite photos. Do you know what I mean?
The holiday snaps. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got to ask you, obviously, you run Drag Race. You was incredible. Yes. It's been announced already. Series 3 coming. Can you believe that already?
I am so excited. See, this is the thing. Drag Race is my favourite show. So, you know, so many people complain on social media again, you know, and they say that there's too many seasons. And it's like, well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to be sat down watching it, seeing who's going to replace me as the current reigning queen. I'm so excited for it. I mean, that's been something that's got me through lockdown, obviously, has been Drag Race. And I know it's gotten so many other people through it. So I'm just excited.
Oh, me too, babes. Thank you so much for joining me. It's been a pleasure to speak with you, my love.
Thank you so much, Bobby. Honestly, I'm such a huge fan, and it means so much to me that we're able to have this time together.
Oh, ditto, babe, ditto. And when prides and things start opening up, I hope that I get to see you soon.
Oh, yes. You won't be able to get rid of me.
All right, my love. Well, you stay safe. Take care.
Will do, babes. Bye.
Bye, babe.
Oh, Bobby, that was such a lovely, lovely chat.
It really was. Lovely to catch up with Lawrence. Oh, what a fab show. Thank you for joining me, Brooke. I always love it when you come and
Always a good time, Bobby, when it's us two, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Oh, you've got much planned for the rest of the week, my love?
I am working, house hunting, and trying to get my ass back in the gym, because Lord have mercy, I've been eating out a bit too much this week. So time to get on that treadmill.
Sometimes it's just got to be done. You've got to love a little eat out.
It does.
So, yeah, gym, want to get back in there, train a little bit. I haven't felt the best. So I haven't trained for a little bit, so need to get back in there, training. And obviously by next week's show, things would have been completely lifted. So I kind of don't really know how it's going to be. It's going to be quite an eventful. It is quite a scary thing,
scary.
Isn't it?
It's scary.
I think it's going to take some getting used to, actually.
Definitely, because we've gotten so used to... This was the new normal. Yes. So it's crazy to go back to the old... Like, yeah, it's nuts.
Oh, you take care, Brooke.
And you, Bobby. I'll be chatting to you soon, no doubt.
No doubt, my love. And the rest of you, have a lovely week. And we're back next week. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.